200 pounds, was driving a Ford F-150 5UJ095. This is USA Radio News.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Cash has been deposed as king when it comes to purchasing habits by a growing number of Americans. John Clemens reports.
The percentage of Americans using cash has dropped from 36% 5 years ago to 24% now in 2016. Art Swift of Gallup tells us about their latest survey.
Well, over the last 5 years, we are finding a shift from people saying that they are using cash for all or most of their purchases. There has definitely been a shift in terms of Americans' cash spending habits.
That shift includes electronic payment methods, apps on phones, credit or debit cards, or other forms of payment. Many Americans would now inspect goods in person, but actually buy them online. I'm John Clemens.
Virginia State Police have issued an Amber Alert for 6-week-old Flora Kadem by her mother, a 31-year-old in a blue Toyota Sienna minivan, XJG 1035. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Preschoolers who go to bed late are at higher risk of obesity as teenagers. Dr. Sarah Anderson was the lead researcher of a sleep study done at Ohio State University.
We found that children with early bedtimes had half the risk of adolescent obesity compared to children with late bedtimes.
Mina Khan says there's a reason for the link between late bedtimes and obesity.
When you're going to bed later, you may be snacking later, eating high-calorie foods later. There may be some changes in metabolism and hormones that may lead to obesity.
See that, Mom and Dad? Now you've got science on your side. Ameren Electric officials say nearly 185,000 homes and businesses in Missouri and Illinois lost power. Storms hit the bi-state area. Meteorologists say the fast-moving thunderstorms may have brought wind gusts up to 70 miles an hour. No marijuana for California, Randy Fuller reports.
If the measure passes, it would drastically increase the number of Americans living around legal pot and could put pressure on federal marijuana policy. The Golden State was the first in the nation to legalize medical marijuana. While a similar ballot measure was defeated in 2010, new polls show the majority of Californians support legalization this time around. Supporters propose taxing it at 15% to raise billions for the state budget. Recreational marijuana is already legal in Colorado, Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, while medical marijuana is legal in half the country. I'm Randy Fuller.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rod William Stoll. More news at usaradio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll have my reaction to the Dallas police shooting and why I consider myself colorblind. How to help your business get great press. I'll have the five secrets of very productive people and how to start new customer relationships off right. It's Thursday, July 14th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. There is a heat advisory in effect today through 8 p.m. It's currently 80 degrees at 12:06. Today, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 92 and a low of 70 for tonight. There is a chance of some thunderstorms throughout the day. For tomorrow, we'll have partly sunny skies with a high of 93 and a low of 64. For Saturday, or as I call it, leaving on a jet plane for Austin, Texas, y'all, Saturday, we're going to have mostly sunny skies with a high of 88 degrees and a low of 63. And for Sunday, partly sunny skies with a high of 88 and a low of 66.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way we be. Taking care of business.
The current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 140.16 to 18,512.28, the NASDAQ up 27.40 to 5,033.12, S&P 500 is up 11.91 to 2164.34, oil is up 80 cents to $45.55 per barrel, and gold is down $14.20 to $1,329.40 an ounce. Well, the show is called Taking Care of Business, and we're going to do that, but we're going to do a little bit of a departure today. I sometimes wish that this was a daily show because certain events happen, and then I have to wait a week to talk about them. And last Thursday, five Dallas police officers were killed and seven others critically wounded by a gunman during a protest over police brutality after the shootings of two black men at the hands of police in Minnesota and Louisiana. And this prompted me to write the following post on Facebook, and I received a lot of likes and shares because of it, and I called it colorblind. I am colorblind. Make no mistake, I can see colors perfectly. Blue skies, green mountains, even amber waves of green in the farm fields that I pass every day. But when it comes to people, I am colorblind. I don't see black, white, red or yellow. I don't see rainbows if a person is gay or identifies with the LGBT movement. Instead, I choose to see the human inside the people that I meet. I am sure that each of them has their own struggles and burdens, as do I. And if I can help them with those struggles and burdens, I will. But I do so not because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation, but as Martin Luther King Jr. said, I do so based on the content of their character. Every person, every disease, every race, every nationality seems to be identified by a color or a label these days. I choose to be colorblind. Maybe if we need to be identified by a color, we should come up with one for all of humanity that everyone can identify with so we can all treat each other with the equal respect we all deserve and work together to make this world a better place. As for me, I am colorblind, and I believe every single life matters. In the Second Amendment of the Declaration of Independence, it starts with the line, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." Now, when these words were written, not all men were created equal. Black men were usually slaves, even to some of the same men who helped craft that document. And it would take another 89 years before the black man would receive his freedoms through the Emancipation Proclamation authored by President Lincoln. It would take an amendment to the Constitution, the 15th such amendment, before the black man could even vote in this country when it was ratified in 1870, but still, prejudice loomed large in this country. Blacks had to use separate bathrooms, separate water fountains, could not eat in certain restaurants, and this happened not only in the South, but in the North, and in the East, and in the West. In 1964, the Civil Rights Act was enacted to prevent such discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, or national origin. And while words on paper can dictate that such discrimination should not be tolerated, it cannot prevent it from actually happening. But to be fair, blacks in this country have made great strides and come a long way since Jackie Robinson became the first professional athlete by breaking the color barrier in Major League Baseball. Blacks have become teachers, scientists, lawyers, doctors, astronauts, business owners, senators, congressmen, and even president of the United States. Still, racism lies in the underbelly of many Americans. Do black lives matter? Yes, they do. Do white lives matter? Yes, they do. As do Asian lives and Latino lives. Everyone matters. And no one matters more than anyone else. We all matter. And that is why I choose to be colorblind. I choose to respect and obey the law as I have done for all of my 55 years and will continue to do so for as long as God keeps me on this earth. And I have a tremendous amount of respect and love for those who work in law enforcement, as several of my friends do. And while speaking of laws and those who uphold them, do blue lives matter? Well, hell yes, they do. I would shudder to think what a country without laws and those who uphold them would look like. Are there bad cops? I think it would be safe to say that yes, there are, but by and large, they are in the minuscule minority of all those who serve us and protect us every day. Men, women, blacks, whites, Asians, and Latinos every day put on the uniform, the badge, and the gun to serve and protect. To serve and protect the communities they work in, and to serve and protect you and I. Are there bad people? Yes, definitely. We see it every day on the evening news. People of all colors who rob, rape, assault, steal, traffic in illegal drugs, embezzle, extort, and a host of other crimes. And it does not matter the color of their skin. They are out there among you and me. And given the chance, they would commit those same crimes against us if not for the fear of getting caught or the intervention of those who serve. What then is the answer? How do we solve the problem of letting the black community know that, yes, they do matter? How do we get the police to do their jobs correctly and, if necessary, remove those individuals in their employ who do not do their jobs correctly and within the parameters of the law? I think it starts with community leaders. Black leaders, white leaders, the police and clergy and municipal authorities have to come together to start a meaningful dialogue to not only understand each other's position, but to embrace it, and then to make it their own. And then they have to share those discussions with members of the communities that they live and work in. If black lives truly matter, then within the black community, there needs to be some control. As an example, let's look at Chicago for 2016. So far this year, 316 people have been shot and killed in Chicago. 1,823 have been shot and wounded in Chicago. A person is shot every 2 minutes and 11 seconds in the Windy City. A person is murdered every 13 minutes and 15 seconds in Chicago. This year, 77.4% of the victims have been black. The majority of the suspects or assailants in these cases were also black. On one hand, they are saying black lives matter. And on the other hand, they are killing and shooting themselves, and yet we don't hear about same-race shootings as much on the news. When a white cop shoots a black man, justly or unjustly, it is all over the evening news. When a black cop shoots a black man, you just don't hear about it. And the same holds true for a white officer shooting a white man. The total cost for all of these shootings in Chicago so far in just 6 months this year is $108.6 million through the end of June. And that's only the cost associated with the treatment and burial expenses, etc. It does not include numbers for follow-up care down the road. The same holds true in other cities across the country with similar statistics of black-on-black crimes, Detroit, Cleveland, etc. Now, with these statistics, I am not picking on blacks, but these numbers are alarming. So if we want to say Black Lives Matter, I think we have to prove it in our own communities. The Dallas police chief, David Brown, knows firsthand what crime does to towns and families. His brother Kevin was shot by drug dealers, and his own son, an addict, also named David, killed a police officer in a suburb of Dallas and then was shot and killed by responding officers. When he said in a speech this week, "This has to stop," he speaks from the heart. After the shootings, it was reported that rival gangs, the Bloods and the Crips, were encouraging their members to go out and kill police officers. Is that how we will stop the problem, or will we make it worse? You can almost guarantee that when the police become the targets, cities will enforce martial law and curfews. The National Guard will be brought in as well. Is that what we want? Is that the America that our founding fathers envisioned? I don't think so. On Friday of last week, people, blacks and whites, started to rally in support of police, bringing food to police stations or just offering a hug to an on-duty officer. The police need our support now more than ever. Every life matters. And the trend now is that we are heading backwards, not forwards, in the race for social equality among the races. It's as if we are turning back the clock to pre-1964 and pitting whites against blacks. And that is a fight I do not choose to join. We run the risk of creating a civil war within our country, only this time it won't be North versus South. It could quite literally become neighbor versus neighbor. Is that what we want to become? A nation so divided by race that we can no longer function together, where whites will refuse to do business with black store owners or business people, and blacks, conversely, will choose to do the same. So to be clear, I say with conviction that all lives matter, and we as a society need to recognize that regardless of the color of our skin, and work toward making that the norm. We have to also recognize that the police are doing their job, and if you break the law or threaten them, they can and will and should respond, sometimes with deadly force if necessary. Now here's a tip for you. If you don't break the law, you won't have to worry about it. So this week, five families will bury their slain kin who died in the line of duty. And next year, the Police Unity Tour, which I am proud to support, will ride in honor of them as their names are placed on the fallen officers' memorial in Washington, D.C. That's a memorial that I wish we never had to add any more names to. Two families will bury their kin as well, as they were killed at the hands of police who had stopped them. Chief David Brown was right when he said, "This has to stop." Now, if you notice, I have not mentioned gun control once in this story. This is not a gun control issue. This is not a Second Amendment issue. This is an issue for mankind. And if mankind is to survive and thrive, then yes, this has to stop. From the highest educated to the least, from the wealthiest to the poorest among us, this has to stop. I am tired of reporting on these senseless tragedies, and there is a chance that I will have to do it again someday, though I loathe the thought of it. So yes, this has to stop. Ministers, priests, lay people, community leaders, police, government officials, neighbors and friends, all of us have to work together to support the police and understand the struggles faced by all. Make no mistake, no one is entitled to anything in this country. You get what you earn, not what you steal. If you're not happy with your lot in life, change it. Go back to school. Get a better job. Move to where there is opportunity, but take control of your own life. No one owes you a damn thing based on the color of your skin or your race or how you were raised. Everyone has their own share of problems and toils. Everyone has an equal opportunity in this country. It is your job to go out there and take it. Again, when I meet someone for the first time, I don't see white or black or any other color. I see a human. If they treat me with respect and they don't hurt me or my family, I will treat them with respect as well. But I don't see color because when it comes to people, I choose to be colorblind. And to me, not just black lives matter, all lives matter. In 1991, A black man named Rodney King became the face of police brutality after being beaten by Los Angeles police officers following a high-speed chase. This was probably the beginning, in a public way, because it was caught on film, if you will, of the us-versus-them mentality between blacks and police. At times, over the years, it got better, and at times it has gotten worse around the country. A year later, the acquittal of the officers involved in the King case sparked the infamous Los Angeles riots that in 1982 left 53 dead, 2,300 injured, more than 7,000 fires, and damage to 3,100 businesses and over $1 billion in financial losses in the city. Apparently, those lives, those businesses, didn't matter. But Rodney King made a plea on television during the riots and said one line that still resonates today when he said, "Can't we all just get along? Can't we?"
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I was got an email during the break about what I just said about the Black Lives Matter movement and the police shooting in Dallas, and someone said, how does this tie in to business? And I think that it really can have a massive impact on business. As we heard the statistics during the Rodney King verdict riots, several 3,100 businesses suffered over $1 billion worth of damage. It's going to get to the point at some point where, because we get so secular, not in faith, but in how we deal with one another and who we deal with, that businesses will suffer. If a black man doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't want to support a white business, the white business will suffer. And if a white man doesn't want to support a black businessman, the same thing. So getting back to the point is, first, we need to support our police. Second, our police need to police in a proper way. And finally, third, we all have to come together and open that dialogue so that we understand each other better. Maybe we didn't do the Civil Rights Act justice back in 1964 when we just decided, well, here's this law. Everybody get along. I think we had to do a little bit more on the education side. And it has to start at a very, very young age. It amazes me when I can go to a school, and I do a lot of reading in classrooms, and I will see a wide variety of children, blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians, all getting along because they just don't know prejudice yet. And I would love for adults to take a lesson from some of those classrooms so that they get it and they understand that we're all very similar. We all have similar problems. And if we all work together, we can help solve those problems. But I would love for everybody to go back into a kindergarten, first, second, third grade, and just see how all those kids can get along and not worry about the color of their skin to determine whether or not they can be friends. All right, let's get back into the program here. This is the last program now until I come back in 2 weeks. We're going to take next week off. We'll do the replay of the OnDeck commercial lending interview. The online company does commercial lending, so we'll get that set up in the queue. But so a lot's been going on over the past week. We met the in-laws, the D'Alessandro family from Long Island, and met Michelle's parents and her brother and sister, and had a great time with them at the house last Saturday night. Feedback was good. They seemed to like us. We seemed to like them. So it's not going to be a Hatfield and McCoy type wedding. They're great people and people that I can see myself, wanting to be around. So it was just a very easy, comfortable evening. So I was very happy with that. And then something happened over the last week that is taking the world by storm. Have you heard about Pokemon Go yet? It's a new app on your phone where just about anywhere you're at, you can find a Pokemon creature and collect them. The old adage of collect them all is still prevalent. And yesterday I saw a 60-year-old man in the bakery in the store next to me, and he was swiping his phone. And the way he was holding it, I could tell he wasn't reading an email. And I go, George, are you playing Pokemon Go? And he goes, yeah, this is great. So it's taking the world by storm. People are, you know, you see people all over different cities and towns just walking around with their cell phone trying to collect the next Pokemon character. So very interesting. And now there is a business side to this, and that is that you can pay money to the app creator so that you can locate one of the characters within your business. And then people would have to come in to be able to collect it. But now you have a potential customer sitting in your showroom. So make sure that if they're there to collect Pikachu or whoever, at least you're talking to them about your business and inviting them back in. We're going to actually give this a shot in my store, see if we can't put one of the characters on a table in our showroom so that it can be accessed after hours, or if need be, a person can come in during work hours and collect one of their Pokemon characters. So the cool thing for Nintendo or the company that created Pokemon is that their stock jumped like 8% in one day. They've raised over $8 billion as a result of this, so it's just phenomenal how popular Pokemon still is. There was a comedian the other day made a joke. He goes, do you understand that here in 2016, the two biggest headlines are that Pokemon is back and that a Clinton may end up in the White House? What are we, in 1996?
My vacation, it's time for me to have some fun. Yes, it's time for my vacation. I wanna lay out in the sun. 'Cause I've been working every week.
Randy Owen, Teddy Gentry, Jeff Cook, and Mark Herndon, the boys from the supergroup Alabama. What a great group they were. Great concerts. Had fun being a roadie for them on a few shows one summer. So what a great song, My Vacation. When I'm going on vacation, that's the song I play. So next week, starting Saturday, we're going to fire up the Crown Trophy jet, head out to Austin, Texas, where we'll be spending time at the Barton Creek Resort for the Crown Trophy annual franchisee meeting and trade show. Looking forward to that. Might be picking up an award or two is on Thursday night, so we'll keep you posted on the Facebook page if we do. And but otherwise, just looking forward to getting out, decompressing a little bit from busy season, and then recharging the batteries as we head into the second half of the year. So looking forward to that as well. What else can we be talking about?
Vacation, it's time for me to have some fun. guess it's time for my vacation. I want to lay out in the sun. Getting back to basics and count my blessings one by one.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how to get great press for your business. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
I would personally like to see Newt Gingrich there. I think it would bring out, it would certainly rally me and the other conservative voters, and it would bring also credibility to a ticket because nobody can debate like Gingrich can, and I think he would do a great job representing the ticket.
That was one Republican voter expressing his opinion on Donald Trump's running mate choice. The GOP nominee will announce his decision tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. In addition to the former House Speaker, the shortlist includes Indiana Governor Mike Pence and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Meanwhile, a partial list of speakers for next week's Republican National Convention in Cleveland is out. Some of the speakers include Tim Tebow, Trump's wife and children, and various GOP leaders. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg says she regrets making what she calls ill-advised remarks about Donald Trump. The other day, she called him a faker. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie. I have a great way for you to look great this summer. You know, I just got back from my hairstylist last week, and she said my hair has never been fuller and longer. She said, I can't believe how long your hair has gotten. Are you still using that hair stuff? I said, yes, that hair stuff is Ovation, and they're the Ovation hair care products. Now, my hairstylist sells other products, but I don't buy hers. I get Ovation because it is the first thing that has really made my hair full. But they have, you know, products for all different types of hair, and they have different styling products to make, you know, your hair look fuller or to protect it from heat or to detangle it. There are lots of things that you can get. And this week, free shipping on your entire order, no minimums, no restrictions. So free shipping on everything for a limited time. So hurry. Free shipping starts now and go to ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. And don't forget to click on Angie Austin Daybreak USA. I love these products. I wouldn't endorse them if I didn't. They are fantastic. ovationhair.com.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us. Don't forget, next week we're going to have a replay of the interview I had with the folks at On Deck Commercial Online Lending. So if you need money for your business, working capital, making payrolls, things like that, you'll want to tune into that show as well. How do you get great press for your business without spending a dime? Now, not all press coverage comes with a high cost. With some hard work on your part, these tips can help your business get more exposure. For me, getting media coverage is all about continually reaching out to new people and getting your story heard. This is how I do it, and it works pretty effectively. Hopefully, you can do it as well. And before you throw up the objection of, oh, I don't know how to write, or oh, I don't know what to say, listen to these tips and find out just how simple it can actually be. The first is you want to research and then make a wish list. Now, you can't start getting press for your business if you don't know what type of press that you want to get. So you can visit a bookstore and look at all the magazines and newspapers that exist. Flip through them to understand what types of content they feature and whether you and your business would be a good fit. Does the publication feature products? Is there a column that features local businesses? What are the local morning TV shows and what types of media and products do they feature? Once you've researched media, then create a wish list of where you'd like your business to appear. Number two, you want to brainstorm ideas. Now, editors often work off of editorial calendars, which can often be found online in a media kit. Think of ideas to send to editors or pitch based on the calendar year. For instance, January is always about starting fresh and getting healthy, while July is about vacation and eating outdoors. So figure out ways to pitch yourself for every month of the year and holidays like Valentine's Day or Cyber Monday. The more ideas you can brainstorm, the better. The idea is often the hardest part. You absolutely need professional headshots and portraits, so when a press opportunity hits, you are prepared and can send editors great photos within the day. Number three, pitch, pitch, pitch. And notice there was a P at the beginning of all three of those words, not a B. Pitch, pitch, pitch. Keep your pitch short and simple. Be personal, introduce yourself, and then get straight to the point. State exactly what section your pitch is for and answer the five W's. Who, what, why, when, and where. Don't attach photography. Many corporate email systems will instantly flag attachments, and your email may never even make it to the recipient. But you can embed one or two low-resolution web-sized photos within the body of the email for a visual reference. Make sure to give your website address, spell the editor's name correctly, and state that you have both high-resolution and web-sized photography available. Once you've sent your email, you've done your job by providing ideas, information, and all the facts, so an editor will either bite or not. Remember that it's business, not friendship, so don't take rejection personally and simply keep pitching. And finally, use great photography because it speaks volumes. Your photography needs to be professional and captivating, whether it's a photo of products or of you. In the era of Pinterest and Instagram, visuals are everything. One of the first things an editor will judge your company and quality on will be photography. Your job is to make an editor's job easy, so having the right style of images is very important. Product photography should be shot against a plain white backdrop. And when it comes to headshots and portraits, it's a good idea to have two different types of photography. Studio shots of yourself against a white wall, and photos of yourself in a colorful environment. Remember that you are the heart and soul of your company, and professional headshots and portraits, so when a press opportunity hits, you're prepared and can send editors great photos within a day. So just a couple of tips on how to get some great press. Keep hitting the local newspapers. They're starved for stories. A lot of times they've downsized staff. They don't have a whole lot of time to go out and send a reporter to cover you. So you, in effect, become the reporter. Send press releases, and again, make sure it does answer the five W's, who, what, where, when, and why. Expand everything. Always include your web address. Always include an email address and a phone number in the body of the story. Some editors are now taking stories verbatim, and they're just doing a copy and paste and aligning you in one of the columns within the paper wherever it will fit. So if you can embed a website, a phone number, or an email address, this could drive traffic to your business. Wouldn't that be nice in this day and age of Amazon, where everything is deliverable within 2 hours in your house? Well, there are five secrets of very productive people, and most of them are simply common sense. Productive people. You know, and that's when I consult with businesses, one of the things they say is, you know, I work and I work and I work and I work, but it just doesn't seem like I'm getting anything done. I don't want to hear that you're working. I want to hear that you're producing. So how do we make you a productive person? Well, here's five secrets that might help. Now, more than a decade ago, Microsoft got curious about how many hours per week workers are actually being productive. They ran a survey prompting people to rate their workplace productivity, and the findings were pretty alarming. In the United States, people work an average of 45 hours a week and consider 16 of those hours to be unproductive. That amounts to more than just bathroom and coffee breaks. When you consider the opportunity cost of 35% of work time being unproductive, employers and employees need to take notice. So if you want to boost your productivity, it's not by working longer, it's by working smarter. It's about learning how to squeeze more out of every working hour. If you were to emulate the five traits I'm about to give you of uber-productive people, you'll be amazed by how much more effective you will be. First, plan your day. Now, life is demanding. There is a steady stream of emails, texts, calls, and ads screaming for your attention. And if you're not able to focus on a set task, you'll spend all day doing things that are not productive to your goals. To be uber-productive, you need to be vigilant about planning your day. Either the night before or first thing in the morning, make a short list of key tasks that you have to accomplish, and then map out when you plan to complete them. Without a concrete, specific, measurable plan, you have no way of knowing if you move the ball forward or not. You also want to lead with the pain. Uber-productive people don't push off the daunting tasks on their to-do list until the end of the day. If they procrastinated, these projects would never get tackled. Do the least appetizing, most dreaded item on your list first, because that's when you have the most energy. After you conquer the task, you'll not only feel relieved, but motivated to tackle another. Otherwise, you spend the day with that task hanging ominously over your head. Never touch things twice. How many times have you flagged the same email to review later? That is the biggest time suck out there. You give the email, project, or task your attention, but not enough to do something about it. Productive people don't push things off until later. As soon as you turn your attention to something, act. Do it. Delegate it or delete it. Remember, procrastination is a productivity killer. The right time rarely comes around. And when you push things off, they build up. A molehill quickly becomes a mountain, and it's easy to procrastinate when you have a mountain to climb. Also learn to say no. If you can't do something, then just say so. Stop worrying that unless you say yes to everything, people won't value or like you. Uber productive people know how to draw boundaries, and they say no if there's too much on their plate. Research shows that the harder time you have saying no, the more likely you are to experience stress, burnout, and even depression. Stop using phrases like, I'm not sure, or I don't think I can. No is a powerful two-letter word, and if you want to be more productive, you need to get comfortable using it. Also, number five, don't multitask. Multitasking is finally out of fashion, thank goodness, because I've been screaming about this for 20 years. The human mind is most effective when it focuses on a single line of thought. Multitasking challenges us to simultaneously focus on a jumble of ideas. Not only is this stressful, but it's unproductive. Switching tasks is in leaps and bounds more effective. Focus on one task at a time without distraction or interruption, and you'll produce higher quality work more efficiently. So to sum it up, increasing productivity isn't about moving faster or learning expertly to juggle five tasks at once. Productivity is about planning ahead, starting your day strong, tackling things head on, and learning to say no and increasing your focus and attention on the task at hand. The more productive you become, the less stress you'll feel, and the more time you'll have to take those coveted work breaks. Productivity will be the best, most liberating thing that ever happened to you. So hopefully that will help you as you try to become more productive. Just a couple of quick tips, but it's amazing how so many people will talk to me and say, well, I'm a multitasker, and I keep telling them, you're really not, you know. You're doing a lot of things. You know, what I always say to people is you're doing a lot of things half-assed and nothing really well. And it shows up in the quality of the work. And then the burnout that you get as a result is a killer because, you know, you start to hate work. You start to get that feeling in your stomach on Sunday night like, ugh, I got to go to work in the morning. And that's the last thing you want. You want to get to work in the morning ready to go and ready to, you know, knock it out of the park. So hopefully those tips may help you do just that. We've been talking a lot recently on the program about cash flow management and the importance of it and why business owners shouldn't overlook it. Cash flow management can be a line of defense against problems and delays in your accounts receivable. And as I mentioned, next week when I'm away in Texas, we're going to replay the on-deck interview, and hopefully that will cover some of the topics related to cash flow and why it's so important to have that little reserve. Now, if you ask any longtime business owner for their single most important piece of advice on navigating the choppy waters of entrepreneurship, you may likely hear these three words, cash flow management. Now, cash flow is the fuel that drives your business. It can help you get from where you are now to where you want to go with your company. If your business runs out of money, then everything comes to a grinding halt. You can't pay bills, you can't attend events, you can't buy supplies or pay your workers. So having proper cash flow management in place may help you avoid having your business come to a standstill due to the unpredictable nature of accounts receivable. These three suggestions may help you improve your cash flow management and keep your business moving forward. First, don't repeat history. If you have at least 1 year in business under your belt, you may want to take time to review your financials from the previous year. Were there any months when you had a cash flow emergency? Did it happen more than once? What were the reasons? How long did they last? How did you finally fix the situation? The answer to these questions may help you avoid making the same mistakes this year that you made last year. Number two, get help with your cash flow management. Sometimes as business owners, we miss details, we forget things, and we often don't see the big picture. When it comes to cash flow management, too many stops and starts can have a severely adverse impact on your company. You can lose customers, vendors, and access to capital. Having proper cash flow management in place may help you avoid having your business come to a standstill due to the unpredictable nature of accounts receivable. Before your business gets to this point, consider making arrangements to have other people review your cash flow situation. It may be helpful to set up regular meetings with your accountant, bookkeeper, sales manager, or business partner to review your cash flow position for the next 90 days. Invariably, there will be a big check scheduled for payment that gets pushed back by the customer. If you prepare for these types of situations, you may be able to negotiate with vendors on checks that need to go out that month. The key to success is having an open line of communication on receivables and payables. Don't get caught writing checks that your bank account can't cover. And number three, look into your crystal ball. What does the future hold for your business and the marketplace? How will the country's uncertain economic outlook impact your future sales and vendor relationships? Being able to visualize the next 12 months make you better prepared for changes to your cash flow position. Additionally, you may want to think about possible natural disasters that could hit either your business or your customers. If your area is prone to seasonal hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, or some other disaster, it may be beneficial to have your receivables in order before disaster season starts. If your customers are dealing with the aftermath of a natural disaster, your invoices may move to the bottom of their priority list. Running a business in 2016 is not easy. However, by staying on top of your receivables, maintaining a strong cash flow position, and practicing cash flow management, you may have more time to focus on navigating the choppy waters ahead. So hopefully that, again, reemphasizes the importance of cash flow management. I'm going to talk to you when we come back about how thinking like your customer can help improve your email marketing. What? You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100inChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present 100inChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Uh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. And we come to you every weekday at, or every Thursday at this time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. We talk about issues affecting businesses both large and small here in the borough of Flemington and on the national scene as well. As always, if you have any questions or concerns, you can email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. You can reach out to me and like our Facebook page at Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. And if there's topics you want me to cover, let me know so I can do the research and then properly deliver them. Well, when you come up with email marketing, a lot of people are always asking me, how do I do it? You know, what templates do I use? And you can use Constant Contact. You can use Robly and some other services. If you want to just do surveys, you could use something like SurveyMonkey. But when it comes to the content, it's about the customer more than it is about you. You know, and a lot of times we want to brag about our products, and we want to brag about our services, or we want to sell a particular product. But what does the customer need? So if you think like your customer, that will help you improve your email marketing. Customers are bombarded with tons of email marketing messages each day, but only respond to a dozen at best. And here's how to help make yours stand out. Now, do you remember the classic Disney flick, Freaky Friday? It's the one where a mother and daughter switch places for a day to gain a new perspective on each other's lives. The premise isn't exactly original, but it's a great reminder about how important it is to see things from another person's point of view. Take your customers, for example. On any given day, the average person receives 75 emails. And depending on which expert you cite, customers are exposed to anywhere from 300 to 5,000 ads and brands each day. But only about a dozen of those messages will actually drive engagement. At the risk of overstating the obvious, those are not good odds. These email marketing suggestions may help improve your odds. So first, start with less marketing to get better results. You may want to get started by pulling the old Freaky Friday switcheroo and putting yourself in your customer's shoes. After all, they're not the only ones being bombarded with all those email marketing messages every day. You get them too. And this is why you know firsthand that the messages you actually pay attention to come from someone you know and are based on your particular interests and needs. Right off the bat, this criterion for meaningful messages may eliminate a lot of marketing channels such as direct mail and advertising. Even if you took those off the table, there are a number of options available for attracting and engaging customers online, including social media, email, video, and blogs. You'd think with all of these options and the fact that we're all spending more time online, with one-fifth of Americans surveyed in a 2015 Pew report saying they go online almost constantly, that attracting and engaging an audience would be easier. But it only adds up to customers being exposed to even more messages. When it comes to marketing your small business, never before has less been more. Instead of going an inch deep and a mile wide, using a variety of marketing tools, you may want to immerse yourself in a few channels that are going to get you in front of your customers and inspire them to engage with you. Those channels are email marketing and social media. Why? Well, there are lots of reasons, but here are the top three. First, you want to be sure that your messages get in front of your customers, and one of the best places to reach them is in their inbox. According to an Adobe Systems poll of 400 white-collar workers, those surveyed spent 6 hours a day, that's 30-plus hours a week, checking email. Second, email and social media marketing rely on customers opting in to hear your messages. Specifically, email is permission-based, meaning you only add a customer to your contact list after you have their permission. On social media, customers choose to like or follow you. The permission dynamic ensures you're engaging with an audience that wants to hear from you. And instead of going an inch deep and a mile wide, using a variety of marketing tools, you may want to immerse yourself in the few channels that are going to get you in front of your customers and inspire them to engage with you. Third, email marketing and social media allow you to engage customers on a personal level. When you do this, you may be able to build stronger ties to them. You can create more tailored content and offers which may inspire them to take action, like making a purchase or spreading the word about your business. Now that you have the right marketing tools in place, you may want to narrow your efforts even more. Consider focusing on engaging those customers who are going to return or refer business. For email, this might mean culling your list. And on social media, you may want to choose the one or two networks where the majority of your customers are most active. Remember, with so many messages coming at your customers every day, it's easy for them to unsubscribe from your emails or stop following you on social media. To keep those lines of communication open, you have to engage them with content and offers that really speak to them as individuals. Good business is personal in email marketing. Now, what makes a customer read and respond to one email over another? Personalization is one reason. And it starts with the very first thing that the customer sees in their inbox. If your customer isn't familiar with your name or the name of your business, it's going to be a challenge to stand out in that sea of unread messages. Making sure that the email comes from the name they know may help your email stand out. The next part of the email or social media post the customers look at is the subject line. Effective subject lines use fewer than 50 characters, accurately describe the content that follows, and inspire customers to open or click immediately. Going a little deeper into subject lines, you may want to avoid generic ones such as June newsletter or monthly news from XYZ company. You may also want to avoid language that attracts spam filters. Some of the words and phrases that often get stuck in spam filters are free and guaranteed, along with act now or call now. Two other things to consider avoiding in subject lines is the use of symbols such as dollar signs and percent signs, and of course, using all caps. But enough about what may not work with some subject lines. Here's some approaches that have been successful. Asking a provocative question, like struggling to find the perfect Mother's Day gift, issuing a command, reserve your spot now for the summer kickoff, using a teaser, three graduation gift ideas you haven't thought of, creating a sense of urgency, only 8 tickets left, and making business announcements that reflect the benefit to customers. We're moving, bigger space, more parking. As you might have noticed in these examples, the use of numbers and lists can be very effective. Here's one more example to jumpstart your brainstorming. 5 yoga poses to tighten your tummy. Creating content that inspires action. Your catchy subject lines inspired your customers to open your email, so congratulations. You may want to consider how you'll be able to provide great content to keep them interested. Not to worry, you don't need to be a great writer to create great content. Again, writing your email and social media posts from the customer's point of view and personalizing it wherever possible can be helpful. You might be thinking that it's impossible to create a personalized message for everybody on your contact list. You don't have to. Consider that in email marketing, you're only focusing on the 20% of your audience that are driving 80% of your business. You may want to take a closer look at that 20% and break them into subgroups based on location, interest, recent purchases, and other logical groupings. From there, consider creating your content and tweaking it depending on who's receiving it. It can be far more effective to personalize and engage your customers with content designed for clusters rather than trying to engage them all at once. Some other ways to make your messages memorable are to keep them brief and use visuals. In an analysis of more than 2 million emails, those with 3 or fewer images and approximately 20 lines of text resulted in the highest click-through rates from email subscribers. Also, you may want to anticipate having a mobile audience. Since more than half of all emails is open on a mobile device, and 3/4 of your subscribers will delete an email if they can't read it on their smartphones. You may want to make sure your content and images are easy to download and to read. So hopefully following these guidelines may help your messages become one of the lucky dozen that your customers respond to today. In sports, in NASCAR, Brad Keselowski ran out of gas with 2 laps to go, hit the reserve switch, and restarted his car in time to hold off a hard-charging Carl Edwards and Ryan Newman to win last Saturday's race at Kentucky Speedway. This week, the teams head to New Hampshire for the New Hampshire 301 on Sunday at 1:45 p.m. on NBC. In the NBA, Tim Duncan has announced he is retiring after 19 seasons with the San Antonio Spurs as a 5-time NBA champion. And in Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead their divisions in the National League. Games will resume Friday after this week's All-Star break. Don't forget, here in Flemington, the filling station will be open again tomorrow. That's at the old Heinlein Garage on William and Main Street. Join us there for $5 beers, $5 wines, and great friends and family conversation. The filling station is brought to you by the Flemington Community Partnership. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, "Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best." If you have ideas for upcoming program topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano. I'm taking care of business, but I'm on vacation.
Well, it's time for my vacation. It's time for me to have some fun. Yeah,
guess it's time for my vacation. I won't lay out in the sun, 'cause I've been working every weekend. I've been working overtime. Now it's time for my vacation. Having nothing on my mind. Going swimming in a blue hole and fishing with an old cane pole. Well, I can't be
taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
The news is sponsored by